Yeah. All right, we're on. Today is Daf Tes in Bava Kamma. We're going to be on the beginning of Daf Ches Amud Beis. Put the lines from the bottom by Amar Abaye. Today's Shir, we should learn for Schus, for Rafua Shleima, for the Chayalei Sahal who were injured, and for Aliyah Neshama, for those who were killed yesterday and today, and may today be another hopefully successful day carrying out their mission and a safe day. Amar Abaye. Okay, now we're done. Because we were learning about collecting karkos from lakuchos, the Gemara now brings down a couple of memories from Abaye about a bal chov collecting from karka. So Amar Abaye said, Ruvain shamachar sada l'shimon b'achrayos. Ruvain sells his field to Shimon with achrayos, means he's taking responsibility should someone come and be toe-faced and grab the field. But also bal chov de Ruvain, the tarf mishimon. And that's exactly what happens. Reuven's creditor comes and he takes the field and comes to Reuven. Reuven can't pay him back, so he takes the field. He takes the field from Shimon. So dinahu, the din is to azil Reuven umishtoy dina bahade. Reuven can intervene in the legal proceedings and can't. It's not just that Shimon has to defend himself from the Baal Chov collecting it. Reuven can defend, can intervene in the legal proceedings. Mishtoy bedine, and he began involved in the din to be done with the Baal Chov. To determine whether or not he really owes him the money. Maybe Reuven says, I paid you back, or whatever reason, he has other claims that he can make. Tosfos just points out that he's not sure what the chiddush is, because anything that Reuven could be towing, the basement is usually taninim lay for the lokeah. So Tosfos goes on to try to give a few answers to what the chiddush, what Reuven can add to the proceedings. Nevertheless, Reuven could come in, the lo matzi amrle, and the balchov can say to Reuven, la val devarm di diad, you have nothing to do with this. I'm not collecting your karka, I'm collecting karka from Shimon. So Reuven says, no, it's Amalei, because you can say to him, imatkut minei, if you take the karka away from him, alai hadar, then he's going to come back to me, and he's going to attack me, and he's going to take from me the land. So it does affect me, because if you take from him, I'm going to have to pay him back. So Reuven is definitely a proper litigant in the case. The ikud amri, and some say, because the first man said, only if he sold the field of Achrayus. The ikud amri, afilu shelo b'achrayus, even if Reuven sold the field to Shimon without achrayus, meaning he didn't take responsibility should a creditor come and take the field away from him, nami, also he can come in and intervene into the legal proceeding and become a litigant. Why? Because here, the first reason doesn't apply, because he's not going to have to pay back, should the land be taken. But Amarlei, the mocher, can say to the balchov, lo nichali d'tahavi l'shimon tar omes alai. I sold this little field to my friend. I don't want him to have any complaints against me, right? I don't want that to complain. If you take away, I just sold him in an arm's length transaction, and now you're going to take it away from him. He's going to be upset at me. He's not going to do business with me, and my name's going to be as good as it once was. So I want to make sure that you don't take the field. I'm going to intervene, and I'm a proper litigant, and the toe face can't say you're not a Baal Tavarim, because he is a Baal Tavarim. Okay, so now the Gemara says. But Amar Abaye says, Reuven shemachar sada Shimon shelo ba'achrayis. Again, Reuven sells a field to Shimon without achrayis, meaning he's not taking the responsibility should a creditor come and be topes and grab the field. Shelo ba'achrayis. V'yatsu alea asikin. What's that? And then asikin is a complaint. Orin, Rashi says. Orin lomar shalanuhi, Rashi says. Comes out, the people say, what are you doing selling that field? Reuven, how are you selling that field to Shimon? That field belongs to us, and we're going to take you to din about that. Not that they have any proof, but they take it away. Just order it. Now there's going to be litigation about the field. The guy probably didn't do a proper title search, and it turns out that these guys have a claim against the field. So what's the story? So they're showing that the field belongs to them, not to the mocher. The din is like this. Ad shelo hichzik bo. We're just going to read the words that we do the Rashi and try to do Tosos. Very lot of shitas. Back here has like 8 shitas we showed him how to explain this coming Gemara. Try to hit on a few points. Ad shelo hechzikba, until the lokeach does a maisa kinyan chazaka in the land, yachol achzerbo. He can be chozer from the kinyan. He can claim it's a mekach tos because he don't want to buy a land that has a sikin. He doesn't want to have to deal. He doesn't want to give out litigation right from the get go. But misha hechzikba, when he does a chazaka. Ain yachol achzerbo. He can no longer be retracted from the sale, and he has to give the money. According to Rashi, we're dealing with the case where he didn't pay for the field yet. He then has to give the money. He has to give the money to the seller. My timer. Why after he does a chazaka can he not be chozer? The amrle, because the mocher can say to the lokeach, Chaita de kitri savart vikavalt. You took it's actually a sack wrapped up in rope. Basically, you took a packaged parcel without looking in the contents on the inside. It's like buying diamonds from De Beers in Belgium. You get a package. That's it. You don't get a chance to look inside. Right? You get the package. Right? Chaita de kitri savart vikavalt. Okay, so therefore, it's on you. You took the risk. You know, buyer beware. You should have done more research into what I was selling you. So from at what point do we consider it a chazaka? Because at the time of chazaka, he cannot be chozer. Mikidayish ametzri. What it means is when he walks around the perimeter of the field, which is a new chazaka that we're talking about over here. So let's just try to get this along to Rashi. So Rashi explains, where is this? Rashi, you know. Let's be Tosos. Tosos says the Rashi is above Metziah. That Rashi is talking close to the Rashi, Mishah Hichzik, but in Yochalach's book says, Beperakam above Metziah, Pavish Rashi, Apagav Shalom Nasan Mos de Karka. Nicknames b'chazaka. What we're talking about here is a case where the buyer did not give money yet. The buyer didn't give the money yet, since he didn't give the money yet, so he can retract so long as he doesn't do a chazaka. The chazaka is walking along the perimeter. Tosfos asks a bunch of kashas on that shita. The kasha, amai nakat chazaka yoser mikesef ushtar. So why does the Gemara have to say that once he does a chazaka, then he can't be chozer? There are other ways to be koni a karka. You can go to karka with kesef ushtar, right? Why is the Gemara asking me Amos Havi Chazaka? It's a clear Mishnah in Bava Basra. Masnizini v'perecheskas abatim. No parts v'gadar. If you lock the field, if you do something in the field, we already know what a Chazaka on the Karki is. What's the Gemara asking me Amos Havi Chazaka according to Rashi? V'od, my kaboy harkit fame yushar duchtin. V'od, the Daesh and Metri mashmi derisa ba'alma shalot sovim sarim. The last question is, the Daesh and Metri just is mashmi that he's walking around the field. What type of Chazaka is that? Why is that? That's not a chazaka. He's just walking around the perimeter of the field. So Tosfos says, "In the era of the farish, the mairi shekano bekinyan gamor bechalipin o bishtar o bechazaka o rafak bapir porta." The guy did a real kinyan. Either he gave kesef. This is the beginning. He gave a real kinyan, kesef, shtar, whatever he did a real kinyan, chazaka. The daito shel adam, and he says the das of an adam is afal pi shekano bekinyan gamor, even though we did a real kinyan. Im yotzu orim yochel lachzibur kolz mancha holacha metzrei hatsadil arkel larachba liros in yani hasada. He says that when you're buying land, there's a retraction time until the time where you walk around the field and take a survey of the field. Even if you performed the chazaka on the field first and you bought it right straight out, you have time to retract. You have, which the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say this. The Shulchan Aruch says you could buy kinyan, you have tokei divor to which retract, except for chalipin, you can be osik boso inyan. But really, Tosfos is saying here, a chiddush, that if you're buying karka, you can retract so long until you walk around the perimeter of the field after the chazaka. The Rosh and other Rishonim explain that what does it mean? We're talking about that you did a real chazaka and you have a retraction time up to the point in time where you buy the field next to it. Metri means the border field. Because once you buy the border field, now you're looking to buy a full tract of land. So if you bought the border field, whatever. There's a lot of to discuss here about what, according to Tosfos, what does it mean? You can retract. You did a kinyan. Now you can retract. Who knows? Maybe you don't walk around the field for a day later. Now you can retract. Now, that's not something that we see in Shas. Usually, you see Toka de Dibor, you can retract the kinyan, not some indeterminate amount of time later. Okay. What? So what did the Kenyan do? Right, so according to Tosfos, I made the Kenyan a point at 10 o'clock in the morning. At 10 o'clock in the morning, I made the Kenyan. And now I'm not going to walk around the field until... What Kenyan did you make? Tosfos says, I made the Kenyan of Kenyan Gomer, Chalipin, Shtar, Chazaka, Rafa Paporta. I did a real Kenyan. I did the Kenyan Chazaka. I dug in the land. Whatever the Mishnah of Avasha tells me, which Kenyan accomplishes buying, purchasing karka, that's what I did. So I did that at 10 a.m. Now Orin come on at 4 p.m. And I didn't walk around the borders. According to Tosfos, I can retract. I told KD board 6 hours later. And you can retract from a Kenyan? You can't. Where do we see that? One Kenyan is... Yeah, basically, you need one Kenyan to actually purchase the field, and another of Daesh Ametri to stop the permission to retract. Seems like it's 2 points in time. I don't know if we see that often. This seems to be two things taking place. A kinyan and another action that prevents you from retracting. Usually it's the kinyan that prevents you from retracting.
So buy a piece of property from another country and I don't go
there. Right. That's what I'm asking. I don't know. All right. So, but vidafka shelo b'achrayas. The Gemara says that this is specifically dealing with a case if you sold the field without achrayas. Aval b'achrayas. If you sold the field with achrayas, then lo. Then we don't say this din. And even after you do the second chazaka, according to Rashi, you do the actual chazaka. According to Tosfos, you do the walking around the borders. Even after you do the chazaka, if there's an error, you can be chozer bo because I bought it with achrayas, and this is part of the achrayas. The Ika de Amri, and some say afilu beachrayas nami. Even if you purchase the field with achrayas, the din is also that after the chazaka you can't be chozer. Why? The Amalei achvei tirfach v'ashalim lach. The Mocher can say to them, listen, there's this Orin over here. Show me the din. Show me the psak din. Show me something. Show me the deed whereby the field was taken from you. And if the field was taken from you, I'll pay you back. That's why I sold it with achrayas. But you can't be mevatel the mecher. I sold it for you with achrayas. If you sell with achrayas, usually it's reflected in the purchase price. I sold it for you with achrayas. So therefore, you show me the star that the based in was Torah, if the field from you, then I'll pay you back. But that's because they're over and you can't retract in this situation. Okay. So now, the Gemara is going back. What got us onto this whole, like, 2-3-block tangent was going on here. The Gemara goes back there seemed to be a steer in the psukim. One pasuk indicated that you have to pay, a nezek has to pay metav sadeh or metav karmel yishalim, which is mashma that you have to pay be'idis, either a karka or kesef. And another pasuk says, balabor yishalim kesef yashli levalav, and from the word yashiv, we said that you can even do shava kesef, and even subin, even, you know, brand. You know, even pay back with combs or feathers, right? As long as the value is worth what you damaged. So we had a bunch of teirutzin on that answer. One we said was, that if you pay by karka, you have to pay idis. But by shava kesef, you can pay besubin. That's the answer that we had before. Here it seems to be Rav Huna gives his cholik. Rav Huna amar o kesef o metiv. There's no steer between the psukim. Either you pay cash or you pay the best of your fields. So the Gemara asks, Esve Rav Nachman the Rav Huna. Rav Nachman asked Rav Huna, what about the pasuk of Balabor Yisholim? It says Yashiv Lebailov. So Yashiv Lerabu Shava Kesef Bafilu Subin. You just told me, Rav Huna, you only can pay Kesef, you can only pay Metav, but the other pasuk says you can pay with Subin. So Mar answers Rav Huna, Hakav Mayaskinon Bidilesle. When can you pay with Subin? Only if you don't have Kesef or Karka Metav. Meaning there's a waterfall. First you have to pay with cash. Or, yeah, we'll discuss checks soon. First, you have to pay with cash, or you have to pay with Metav. If you don't have, then you can play with Subim. So Gemara asks, basically, Rav Nachman asks back, either Lesle, if the Brice is dealing with a case where he doesn't have Kesef or Karka, then it's Pshita. It's Pshita that you pay what you have, even Subim. Why would the Brice have to tell me that? You have to pay back. So Gemara says, Ma'u detema, without the Pasuk, Rav Huna says, you would have said, Amrinan Le, Zil Tarach Zabin, Va'asei Le Kesef. You have to pay me back kesef. You have these plastic combs. Go to the plastic comb market, sell it, be torech and sell in the plastic comb market, get the cash, and then pay back the nizak. Kamash Malan, the pasuk comes to teach me that you don't have to do that, that the mazik doesn't have to go sell it on the open market to get the cash. He can just pay back the subin. But that's only if he doesn't have it. If he has karka, or if he has kesef, then he has to use that first. So we'll do the Rav Nachum for the day. Rav Nachman Berkovitz tries to explain this machlokus between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna. It seems to be a machlokus as to whether we need a pasuk to teach us that if the mazik lacks metav or kesef, he can pay with subin, and he doesn't have to sell the subin to obtain kesef. Rav Nachman says that it's pasuk that you can pay with subin. Rav Huna needs a pasuk to tell me that I can pay subin. So what's the machlokus whether or not you need a pasuk to tell me I can explain subin like Rav Huna, or according to Rav Nachman that it would have been pasuk? It would have been pasuk to pay subin. So Rav Nachman gives a bunch of answers. When his first answer, he says, "He shamati me'echem in Rosh Yeshivas." So I don't know who that is, but he quotes one of the Rosh Yeshivas, probably in the Mir, who says that the machlokas is totally in how we define the din of Metav. Is Metav part of the Chi of Tashlumin? Meaning there's a Chi of Tashlumin. I have to pay Metav. I have to pay back. I have to pay back Metav. It's part of the Chi of on the Mazik to pay back, to pay Metav. So if the Chi of is to pay back Metav, we have a Havimina that you can force him to get Kesef. Because Kesef is Metav, so you could fulfill, in order to fulfill his chiyuv, to pay back Meitav. But Rav Nachman says Meitav is not a chiyav on the mazik. It's a zechus for the nizak to get that he gets Meitav. So it's just a priority. Either you get Meitav, if there's Meitav, you get Subin. So there's no havamin to force a sale because Subin also fulfills the mazik's obligation. So according to Rav Nachman, it's a zechus nizak to get Meitav. So if there's a chus nizak to get Meitav, there is no Meitav. That's it. There's no Meitav. You don't have this chus. Therefore, there's no havamina to say that you would have had to sell on the open market. Rav Huna says no. The ikar adin, you have to pay back Meitav. So the ikar adin, you have to pay back Meitav. You would have had a havamina without the pasuk. You would have said that you have to go get kesef. Comes the pasuk and says, despite the fact that this is a chiyav on the mazik to pay back Meitav, there is a kasuk to tell me that you don't have to sell the item on the open market in order to get kesef. Okay, Rabbeinu Tam here in Tosfos, he gives us a summary of what the dinim are when it comes to paying back. If you look in Tosfos, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 6 lines from where they get wide in the Divrei Maaser Rav Huna, he says Rabbeinu Tam eno sover kein to mefarish sheyus gimel dinim b'nizakin. There are 3 dinim when it comes to nizakin. It's o kesef, first kesef. You have to pay back if you owe someone for damage, o meitav, or you pay karka, the e lesle afilu subin. If you don't have, then you pay subin. Mashma, he's cholik on what we said before. That subin is part of the initial deal. He says he passes like Rav Huna that first you could pay meitav or kesef, and only then you can pay subin. You can't pay subin right away. Then he says ubal chov. When it comes to a bal chov, e is lezuze lo mati lesulka el bezuze. By bal chov, you can't pay meitav. You have to pay. You can pay first. You have to pay karka. First, you have to pay kesef, and then you can pay karka if you don't have kesef. What goes one step down, and the next one he says, we're second wide line. Upoel e lesle labalabaya zuze amarle zil tarfa zavin vaasi zuze. If you owe a worker, you have to pay back your workers. You can't. You have to pay them back in cash. You can't pay them back in karka or shavah kesef if you don't have cash. You the owner of the building company, you have to go and sell your materials in order to get cash, in order to pay back your workers. If we have time later, we'll talk a little bit about checks. So the Gemara now continues. Amar Rav Asi. Rav Asi makes a statement. Ksafim, cash, harehen ki karka. They're just like karka. So Gemara asks, Lamai Hilchasa, what's the case? What are we talking about? If you're telling me that kesef is like karka l'inyan meitav, to tell me, meaning that if I'm a mazik, I can either pay with karka or I can pay with kesef. Hainu de Rav Huna. That's exactly what Rav Huna said. So what's the chiddush for Rav Asi? Elos, Rav Asi says, no, this is the case. We're talking about a case, l'shnei achim shechalku. 2 brothers came and they were cholik the Yerusha from their father. V'natal echad karka. Let's say there's a $20,000 estate, 10,000 of it, make it easy, 10,000 of the dollars of the estate is in land, and there's in real estate, and 10,000 is in movable property. So the shnei achim shechalku. V'natal echad karka. One took the real estate, the echad ksafim, and one took the fund, one took the bank account. Equal amounts. Ubal bal chov v'natal karka. Now the bal chov of the father comes and takes the karka. The father owned money, so a bal chov can be torah from the yorshei halove from karka. He can't be torah from metalim, so he collects it from the karka. The azil hai, so the guy who had the brother who had the karka taken from him, v'shakel palga b'ksafim mahadei, he can go ahead and now tell the other brother too, let's split the kesef, right? Because karka ksafim is karka, we should have gotten the same thing. I lost my karka, I get the kesef. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? 2 things. First, the Gemara says, say this is a pasha din, and therefore that can't be the chiddush. Then the Gemara says, no, this din is not pasha, the opposite, this din is wrong. And therefore, either way, they can't be what Rav Asi is talking about. I know the havamin is that the Gemara goes for 2 extremes. But first, the Gemara asks, pshita, hai brava, hai lavra? They're both sons of the father. They both responsible to pay back the bal chov. This one's a son, and this one's not a son. They're both sons. So therefore, therefore it's pasha that both of them were yorish. The chiyav was mutal on both of them to pay back the chov. And since the bachov only took from one, they should go back and be cholik what's left. So therefore, that can't be Rav Asi's din because it's pashit. The Gemara says, no, a different way. Ika the army adarabah li'idach yisa. So it says, no, we can ask on this question the other way around. The amar lei, lahachi shakal ksafim, di mignevi lo mishtal minach, or lahachi shakal ta'ara, di mitarfa lo mishtal malach midi minoi. The second brother will say, what are you talking about? You can't collect anything from me. This is the reason why I took kesef and you took karka. I took kesef because you were worried that it would get stolen. So, but and I took the kesef because I don't want to worry about being torah from being had it being taken from lekuchos. This was part of the original deal. I took kesef for this exact purpose. You can't come and get it. So either because the din is pashut or because the din is wrong, when Vasi says ksafim harein kikarko, he can't be dealing with this case. Good. So what's the case that he's dealing with? So what's the case? Ella, we're talking about a case with shnei achim shechalku. We're talking about a case where there was a $20,000 piece parcel of land and they split the karka, right? Shnei achim shechalku, uba balchov, the balchov came, v'notol chalko she'echa mehen. There was a $10,000 IOU from the father, so the balchov comes and takes the karka from one of them. So I don't know what the question that some of the Rishonim ask, how is it possible that he only collects from one of them? He should be collecting from both of them equally, because both fields are meshubad. So Tosfos says that maybe we're dealing with a case where it's an apotiki. One of the fields is a potiakai, that it's specifically, this field was leaned, it had the lean on it. Fine. The Ramban and Bavasha says that maybe we're dealing with a case where one of them took a Beinonis field and one of them took a Ziboris field, so therefore the Balchov collects, like we did yesterday, the Balchov can collect from Beinonis. That's why he's taking it from that field specifically. Okay, but there is a Rabbein Yona, the Aliyah story Rabbein Yona, Bavasha, who says that he has to collect from both of them. He has a lien on the fields of the father, these are both the fields of the father, to take from either one he wants. If that's the case, then Tosfos' question doesn't apply at all. So you have to be hamazbi the machlokes rishonim, whether or not when the balchov comes to be tori from the yorshim, does he have to split taking according to Tosfos, and therefore you have to come out to a reason why here he didn't, or according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it doesn't make a difference. He can take whichever one he wants. So the case is that these two brothers come, these two brothers split the field, and when the balchov comes and takes one of the fields. So therefore you see from here that, so what Rashi is saying is that the brother who the field wasn't taken from has to go back and split his field, half of his field, with the brother who had the field taken from, because kesef harei kekarka, and this was that the brother who wasn't collected from, he could pay, he doesn't have to give him the karka, he could give him kesef, half the value of the karka as well, to get him off his back. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? That can't be the din. Rav Asi already said this din. Where did you say this din? Because it's a brisa. The itmar. We have the following brisa. Ha'achim shechalku. These achim came and they split the karka that they inherited from their father. Upa balchov. And the creditor of the father comes. V'natol chalko she'echa mehen. And takes the field of one of them. It's just our case. Three-way machlokas. Rav Amar batla machlokas. Rav says the original division of property is batel, and they have to be the brothers have to go back and redistribute the assets as they exist now. Ushmuel Amar, and Shmuel says viter. No, the guy whose karka was taken, he lost it. That's it. That's what happens. Too bad. The balchov took from you. The balchov took from you, and that's it. You can't collect anything from your brother. The Rav Asi Amar, and we'll just again here. Rav Asi says is also subject to a major machlok as we've shown what he's talking about. We'll just learn it the way the Masifta learns it. I think it's Rashi. Rav Asi Amar, notel revi bekarka or revi bemos. The first way Rashi says is that here is or. Either he takes a fourth in karka or a fourth in mos, meaning he splits. He gets part of the karka that the other brother has, either a fourth of that karka, or the brother can pay him off with cash equal to a fourth of the karka. Rashi says that, which says, it says, revi bikarka, u revi bimos, it's not an and, the u is an or, and he quotes a Mishnah in Yavamos, where the Mishnah says, chalitz v'asiba maimar ben nasun get v'ba'ol, that is chalitza, and does maimar, and gives her get, and does bi'ila, doesn't do all those things, it means or. So that's what Rav Asi says. Now the Gemara is going to try to explain what the machlokas here is. Rav Amar batla machlokas. He says that the batla machlokas you have to go redistribute. Why? The kesaver achim shechalku kiyorshim harvim habu. Says when brothers come and split, they're like yorshim. Meaning, what does that mean? Yesh breira, right? There's a breira as to what was ra'oi for each of them to have to begin with. And since over here they're yorshim, they each of them have an obligation to pay back the father's chov. And if they collect from one of them, you have to go back. It was never Hoover Double Mafreya that this field didn't belong to them because it had to go back to pay the father's loan back. So therefore that field never belonged to them. The only field that belonged to them was the field that wasn't collected. They have to redistribute based on the field that belongs to them that wasn't collected. Shmuel Amar Viter, why? Kasavar, he holds Achim Shalchalku Lakokos. Right? Their din is like their purchasers from each other. And we're talking about, and they're purchasers who purchased the field without a chrayus. They purchased from each other without a chrayus. I purchased from my brother the field. He purchased from me the field, that other field. We don't have a chrayus for each other. Therefore, if someone comes and says, Torah, if your field, you can't come back to me and collect and collect money from me. Because we are like lukukos without a chrayus. What about Rav Asi? Why does he give this seemingly split halacha? Rav Asi Amar, notu Revi Bekarko, or Revi Bemaos, Dimasafkale. He has a suffix. Ik yarshin dami, ik lekuchos damo. He doesn't know the halacha whether it's kiyarshin or lekuchos. Hilkach, therefore, nota revia bekarko revia bemos. He takes either a fourth in karka or a fourth in mos. But nevertheless, either way you learn out, however you learn Rav Asi, he's saying here though, is that he said either you can take a fourth of karka or you can take a fourth of kesef. Mashma, kesef is the same thing as karka. But we already know that. So we see from here Rav Asi saying that kesef equals karka. So what's Rav Asi telling me that ksafim harehem kikarka? So what's the story here? Tosfos asks, quick question, the last bottom part of Tosfos, he says, hilkoch noto reviva karka reviva mos. Right? So Rav Asi had a suffix. He says, we'll be cholik, we'll split the fourth. Mashma is like simchus, mamana muto basof, the basofik, you're cholkin. Tosfos says, v'lo shaykh be'amotzi mechaveir al v'raya. But we don't paskin like simchus. We paskin hamotzi mechaveir al v'raya. There's a suffix here whether I owe you the money or not, whether it's Rav or Shmuel. Why is the Gemara saying, being so much on Sumchus of Mamana Namoto Basofik Safik Cholkin? I think I heard from Rabbi Raza once before that there are different types of Sveikos when it comes to Dina Mamanos. One is a suffix in the Mitzios, if there's a suffix and then the other one is a suffix in the Din. If it's a suffix in the Mitzios, whether you owe me or not, then it's Hamotzi Mechaveir Olivaraya. But if there's a suffix in the Din, here the suffix, it's clear where the money belongs. There's a suffix of whether or not I have a chiv to pay you back. There, if we have a suffix, and what the halacha is, we can so make a moment a mutal besuffic folk. It's not for Rabbi Razor or somebody else, it's not my own, but that I think can answer Tosfos. So now we're trying to figure out what is Asi saying when Rav Asi says ksafim harein kikarka. He didn't tell us any chiddush. He already told us ksafim harein kikarka. Elamai harein kikarka. What does that mean? It's l'inyan meta. No, it's like we originally said. Rav Asi is coming to teach us that l'inyan meta, when the mazik has to pay back, he can pay back kesef, he can pay back karka. It's the same halacha. So Gemara says, we had the question before. Ihachi hayim the Rav Huna. That's the same thing that Rav Huna says. Gemara says, you're right. Eima v'chein amar Rav Asi. What we're saying, Rav Asi is agreeing to Rav Huna. Add the words v'chein. Rav Asi is saying, I agree. Just like Rav Huna, it's o kesef, o karka. And if you don't have kesef, if you don't have karka, then you can pay subin. Rabbeinu Tam seems to paskin that way. The Rif seems to paskin the other way. The Gemaras that we have previously, that subin you can pay right away also. It's either all three have equal. You know that actually not that all metaltlin is metav, and you can pay any type of metaltlin. Okay. So now the Gemara brings another member of Rav Huna. Smack in the middle here, I don't know why it's here, just because it's Rav Huna. Amar Rav Zeirav, Amar Rav Huna, b'mitzvah. If someone's going to be mekayim a mitzvah, he wants to pay in order to purchase a mitzvah, ad shlish. He has to pay ad shlish, up to a third. Gemara asks, my shlish. What do you mean a shlish? What does it mean a shlish? So, ilema, if we're talking about shlish beso, then order to mekayim a mitzvah. He has to buy an esrog. Esrog costs $30, and Esrog costs $10, and he only has $30 to his name. He has to pay $10 to get it. So Elam Shlish Beso, he has to pay a third of his assets. Elamiyat, according to this, Yisraeli plus a mitzvah. If three mitzvahs come to him, Lesi Lakuli Beso, he's gonna have to pay all of his nechassim. He has to pay a third here, a third. I don't know why that's the case. It would be a third for this one, then be a third of 20, and a third of 10. Whatever. The Gemara seems to be explaining that you would have to pay. You take it at. They all come at the same time. You take a third of what you have, and each one, and you would lose. You lose your house. You lose everything. You lose everything. And that can't be. You can't. You don't have to lose anything because you don't have to be mbazvis all your money. You know, Yosef Mechomish, I think, is the most. You don't have to be mbazvis all your money in order to do a mitzvah. So Ella, I'm Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira comes to say, no, we're talking about behidur mitzvah, meaning. You have to add on a third of the purchase price to be for hider. If the esrog costs $10, you should be adding on another third. We'll see what another third is. You should be adding on another third in order to buy a beautiful esrog. Behider mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah, up to a third of the mitzvah. So Tosfos from here says, Tosfos mashmid ain't sarach lebaz with kol mamon liknos esrog afilu lo yimsa b'pachos. Right, b'havi mitzvah veres. See from here that there's no obligation to spend extra money on the mitzvah, even the mitzvah overes, if it's going to put you in the poorhouse. You don't seem to have to do that. Right? Vafilu shlish beso, mashadol mechayev. Right? And also, vamir nami, mizbazbaz, azibazbaz, yosem chomesh. You don't have to pay more than a fifth. So, the Ravid, because we have the Chidushi HaRavid on Bava Kama, he asks, he goes, Tamuli, v'chiyeh yishdomi l'mitzvos? How can you put a price on mitzvos? It's more of a hashkafic point, I guess. Right? V'eich yakuloma lo etna lula v'esrog akidei kach v'kach. How can you say that? Oh, it costs too much money. I'm not gonna do a mitzvah. Well, me sam lehem damim. Who put a price tag on mitzvos? The mitzvah achas chashuva kol mamona. One mitzvah is more valuable than any of your money. So who puts a price tag on the mitzvah? It's v'yishlomer ad ki shelo yavo yudei ani v'itzdarach lebrios. No, there's a big problem, because if you spend so much money, you're going to be put in the poorhouse. If you put in the poorhouse, you're going to leave. You're going to need for everybody else. And is it?
What?
No, he's asking on the whole thing.
Right.
He's asking the whole concept, but who says? Maybe you should. Maybe you have to sell all your, do everything to get. But so the Rashba adds on the right, he says, because if you're an ani, an ani is chashuv of a mace, so you can't kill yourself to do mitzvos. It doesn't that doesn't work. That doesn't work. So the right, that's the Ravid. The Rashba says that this whole thing about this is a famous Rashba. The whole thing about you don't have to spend so much money on a mitzvah. It's only a mitzvah saseh. But if someone forces you to do a mitzvah lo sase, you have to lose all your money in order to avoid doing a mitzvah lo sase. And the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tov Reish Nun Vav Sikkat and Tes, he gives the Hesber, he says, explains that the difference is, because by bittul mitzvah sase, it's just a shevel lo tase, not doing anything. But if you do a mitzvah, an iser lo sase, you have to give all your money, because if you violate a lo sase, you're actively going against the will of Hashem, and therefore you have to give up everything in order to not to violate that. Okay. So Gemara says, "Boyi Rav Ashi." Rav Ashi says, "Shlish milagav, o shlish milavar." Famous thing. When you say a shlish, is it from the inside or from the outside? Meaning, if it's milagav, it would be that it's a shlich from a third of the original price. Meaning, if the first thing was worth six, say it was worth $6, you have to add a third, split up the $6 into three, two, 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 and you add another two, so the whole thing would be $8. O shlish milavar, or a shlish from the outside. Meaning, a shlish, if the rishon was six dinar, you have to add a third. In other words, split everything into three from the outside, three, 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 you have to pay $9. So, teku. Gemara says, teku. The rush here says, it's a teku, and therefore we paskin lakula, therefore we say mishlish milagav, and people say, he says he paskin lakula, people say the reason is because he says it's derabanan. So according to the rush, hidr mitzvah is din derabanan. Tarach ayin. It's a keli baveyu. No, most people hold that it's it could be, we go back on, you can do it on Shabbos, you can do it by Bris Milah, you can do the Hidr Mitzvah, I mean, it's Tocha Shabbos to do the Hidr Mitzvah. So then it's, if you didn't do the Tzitzim Aka, can you go back? But with the Mitzvah itself, it seems that it's the Dilaraisa, I think. So Rav Soloveitchik, I once heard, said has a Hesber on what the din of Hidr Mitzvah is. He goes, is Hidr Mitzvah a din in the Mitzvah? Or is Hidr Mitzvah, like every classic Akira, is Hidr Mitzvah a din in the Hidr, separate? So if it's a din in the Mitzvah, then you have to pay Milavar, because it's part of the mitzvah, you have to pay from the actual value. But if it's a din separate din and hiddur, then you're only paying on the hiddur, it's milagav, and therefore, maybe, see, even when the Rosh says here that you go lakula, not because it's derabanan, I'm just saying, because it's not, because he's passing one side of the chakira, that's only a din and the hiddur. You don't have to get to the problem whether it's derais or derabanan. Okay. The ma'arava amr mishmeh, he's a little gata, someone was asking. The ma'arava amr mishmeh de Rav Zeira, they say the name of Rav Zeira, ach lish mishalo. When you pay up to a third, extra, but hidr mitzvah, that's yours. That's your mamon that comes out of your account. Become the elach. But if you add more than a third after the hidr mitzvah, mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not coming from your money. That money's going to be paid back to you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you pay extra. Okay. I don't have that. So Gemara says you have to have bitachon. Then everything is chutzah for you by Rosh Hashanah. And if you pay extra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay you back. I say that maybe he doesn't pay you back necessarily money. He pays you back in many ways. Money's not the only bracha that a Kadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon us. Okay, so the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah says, "Kol shechafti b'shmiraso." Right, we're going back to Mazika now. So anything that I have a chiyav to watch it, and if I don't watch it appropriately, hichsharti es nisko, then I was making it to do damage. Okay, the Gemara is going to discuss all of them. And even, hichsharti mikslas nisko, even if I prepared only part of the damage, chakti b'sashlume nisko, then if it does nezek, kehekshar kol nisko. If it does nezek, then I'm still chayv to pay all of it as if I prepared the entire nezek. Okay? The Gemara says that, the Mishnah is going to explain, which, if I do damage, to which things am I chayv to pay? meaning if I damage item A, do I have to pay? So Mishnah says, Nechasim she'ein bahen mi'ila. I'm only chayav to pay if I damage things that don't have an Isra mi'ila. Meaning, I don't know why I say it this way, things that are not nixay hektesh. But if it's nixay hektesh, then I don't have to pay. Because it's a shoreyu, right, below shore hektesh. And also, Nechasim she'ein shel b'nei bris. I'm only chayav to pay if I do damage to Nechasim of a Yisrael. But not, if it's nixay a goy, I'm potter. Maybe the Machlokes Hudina comes in over here, but Din Torah, I don't have to. Well, he seems to hear Mishnah say, I don't have to pay. Sure, there's what to talk about that. Also, Nechasim HaMiyuchadim. I'm only chayav to pay if the Nechasim have owners. But if damage Niske Hefker, then I'm Pater. U'bechol Makom, and I'm chayav to do damage, I'm chayav if my damage, any of these things, in any place, Chutz mi rishus hamiyuchedes l'mazik, except if it's in my own personal property where you don't have permission to come in. If you come in, if I have a pit in my property and you walk into my property, or I have a shore on my property and you bring your dog into my property and then my shore attacks your dog, I don't have to pay because why'd you come into my property? You came to me. Right? So if you come into my property, you don't have to pay. Or rishus hanizak v'mazik. And we can discuss also if it's a partnership, a jointly owned property. And kishahizik, when my mammon does do damage, chav hamazik l'shalim tashlumei nezek, I have to pay tashlumei nezek the meitav haaretz, like we said before, with karka of iddis, I have to pay from the best. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, what's the case? Kol shechavti b'shmiroso sharti es nisko ketzad. What's the din? What are we talking about over here? I prepared the damage, I'm chayav for the damage that it does. So the Gemara says it's shor ubor, talking about either a shor, right, or a pit. I give it over to a cheirishot to the katan, someone who's really incapable of doing a proper shmirah. I give it over to them to watch, right? The hiziko, and then the shor and the boar does damage. Either the cheirishot to the katan, they don't know how to watch it properly, so therefore I hichsharti at the nezek. So chayev l'shalim, I have to pay. Masha ein kein be'esh. But if I gave esh to the cheirishot to the katan and the esh does damage, then the moser to the cheirishot to the katan is potter me l'shalim, even though he was mafshir the nezek. So Gemara explains, yes. What are you talking about? What's the chilek? But my eskinan. What case are we dealing with? Elaim b'shor kasher or bor mechusa. If we're dealing where I gave him a case where the shore was tied up properly or the boar is covered properly, so then what's the case? What's the similar case by esh? The chvasa gabe esh gachelas. We're just talking about like a coal, a burning coal. It's not really a flaming, roaring fire. I just gave him a piece of coal. So maishna hacha, maishna hacha. So why in the case of the esh of my potter and the case of the boar and the shore I'm chayev? Either case, I gave him something that's not really that's watched. The Gemara says, no, Ella b'shor mutar. We're talking about a case where a shore is I gave him the cherish, a shore that's not tied up. Or bor megula, I gave it to him to watch an open pit. Tikvasag, the esh, and therefore by esh, we're talking about a shalhevis. I gave him a torch. So masha enkein, the esh, the putter. The Gemara says, so your putter, if you gave him a torch, can't be. Baha amare shlakish, which made the chiski, a lo shanu, in Mishnah, and Daphnun Tess says that if you give a torch in the hands of the cherishot of a katan, that your putter, that's Ella shemasulo gacheles viliba. That's what if you gave him a coal, and then he fanned the flames, and it went into damage. Aval shalheves, if you gave him an actual torch, chayev. You're chayev if you give it to a cherishot of a katan. So my time, why? The habari haseka. It's definitely going to do damage. I give a torch in the hands of a 3-year-old, he's going to light something on fire. So if that's the case, why am I putter for Eish and only chayev by shore and bor? That can't be the case. I'd be chayev by Eish in that case also. So the Gemara says, no, le'olam, b'shor kasher, ube bor mechusa. We're dealing with a case, originally, like I said, dealing with a case where I gave him a tied up shore or a covered pit. I only gave him a gachelas. I gave him a coal. Ah, tigamarta, maishna hacha, maishna hacha. So why am I chayev by the shore and by the bor and not by the Eish? Because a shore typically will break free from the shmirah, and bor darkel nature, and a bor also typically will, if it's just covered with people walking on it, the cover will go away. So the Ramban says the pshia is that you gave it to someone, you can't go back and check to see that everything is taken care of. Really, if you have a tie on shore, you have to go back and check the rope every now and then. This chayav shot of a katan is never going to check it. So it's a pshil mechatchila, because now you're not, so even if the, so since it's pashim, this pshil mechatchila, Rashi and a lot of Rishonim say, so even if the chayav unties the rope, you're still chayav, because you were posheya all the way back then by giving it to him. Right? But gacheles, karma deshavik lama ame am v'azla. The gachelet, it's not going to do anything by itself. You have to go ahead and place it on things. So that's not going to be chayev. But what about Rabbi Yochanan? Ul Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Afilu Mashal Shel Heves Nama Potter. Rabbi Yochanan says, even if you give a chayre shote v'katan, a torch, your potter. So to kavase hacha. So to make uniform the case here. What's the case here? Bishor mutar bor megula. So you gave an untied shore and an uncovered pit. So maishne hacha, maishne hacha. So why in the eish are you potter and the shore and the bor you're chayav? So he says hasam by where you give. We give him the torch. Safsa the chayrish kagarim. The chayrish has to do an action. He has to take the torch and put it on it. So you aren't making the masik. There's a lot of lumbus in here, I guess. But hacha, by the case of the shore, the boar, the shore that's untied, the boar that's uncovered, lot safsa the chayrish kagarim. The chayrish doesn't have to do anything in order for the hesed to happen. The shore is untied. It's just going to run out. It's just going to run out and run away. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's the chiluk between the ish and the shore of the boar. We'll stop here. I just want to go quickly. Interesting shaila. He said, "Shelva kesef kesef." You can pay back. You can pay back cash, or you can pay. But Rabbi Tom says that by poalim, you can't pay. You have to pay back cash. You can't pay. You can't give them shelva kesef. What's the deal with a check? Is a check considered cash? So it depends on how you view a check. Do you view a check? Some achronim say you view a check just as a permission for the bank to give the money. So that's not considered cash. It's just the permission for the bank to give him your money. Or do you view it that it's a shtaris chayvus? Then it's also not cash. Or do you view it as shavah kesef? It actually has. Sometimes you can sign a check over to somebody else. So nafkaminas are aplenty. But one nafkamina would say, can you be mekadesh an isha with a check? You have to need shavah kesef. Is it shavah kesef or not? Can you purchase karka with a check? You need kesef. Kesef works by karka, but if a check's not kesef, can you do it? Sorry, is that some?
Credit card.
You're not talking about a credit card. We're talking about a check. I don't know the din of a credit card. But just to let you know that today is Asar B'Teves. Today's Asar B'Teves. So I heard from Rabbi Miller, who says that he brings down from the Sidur Chasam Sofer as to why Asar B'Teves is the one fast that even if it would fall out on Shabbos, he would still fast on Shabbos. But Tisha B'Av, doesn't fall out on Shabbos. So he quotes the Sidur Chasam Sofer that says the only time you fast on Shabbos is if the fast is for the future. It's like a tiny scholar. You're worried about what's going to happen. So you fast on the future. But if the fast is just commemorating something that happened in the past, you don't fast on Shabbos. So Asar B'Teves, you fast on Shabbos. So that must be telling us that the ikur of Asar B'Teves that's on the future. So he explains because on Asar B'Teves, it's determined, on Asar B'Teves way back, it was determined already that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. So Asar B'Teves is telling us that every Asar B'Teves, it's a fast in the future to determine whether or not this year on Tisha B'Av there will or will not be a Beis HaMikdash. So it's not just Tam Adei about the walls being surrounded. Today's the day where it's going to be determined, according to the Chasam Sofer, whether or not the Beis HaMikdash will be around on Tisha B'Av or not. So everyone should have that in mind during today. Have a wonderful day.